Okay, we are up to Perek Yud Beis Mishnah. Hey, the final two Mishnayos of chapter 12. Chapter 12, Mishnah 5. So says the first Mishnah, some cases in which you would be concerned that maybe there would be a disqualification because the judges were not, something was wrong with the judges, well, as we'll see in a second. So we'll see there's going to be a machlokas regarding whether or not it is actually going to be a case where the chalitza is pasul. And then the final mission of the parak just basically outlines what chalitza looks like. And so let's begin. Again, parak yod beis, mishnah, hey, chalitza bishnayim. If a woman did chalitza in front of two judges, right? Last time we had three, he said three judges is what you need, but let's say she did it in front of two judges. Oh, v'shlosha v'nimsa echad mehen karova pasul. Or she did it in front of three judges, but what happened later is she found out that one of them was a karov, right? She was a relative who couldn't serve as a judge, or that one of the judges was disqualified, possible from being a judge for some other reason, for some avir that he committed, or something like that. So chalitzas apsul. In either of these cases, the chalitz is going to be pasul. It's going to be invalid because you need to have three judges that are qualified to be judges, and therefore without that, it's going to be ma'akev and it's going to be a pasul chalitza. That's the first opinion. However, the second opinion does not agree. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Hassanler are machshirin. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Hassanler, they actually say it's a kosher chalitza because they say chalitza it should be done before three dayanim, but it's not going to be ma'akev if they don't do it. And there was actually a story where someone who did chalitza to his yavama, and it was, they did it just between the two of them, the yavam and the yavama, they just did it together without any dayanim present, and they did this when they were in prison or something like that. And the case came before Rabbi Akiva, and he said it's kosher. Evidently, you do not need to have three judges. It's not ma'akiv. Ideally, yes, but b'di'evid, you do not need it, and that's what the second opinion now holds. That was Mishnah. Hey, Mishnah Vav says as follows. What does chalitza actually look like at the end of the day? You know, we haven't given the full process. So says the Mishnah Vav, mitzvah chalitza, the mitzvah of chalitza is done as follows. Bahu v'yavim to the beast, and the yavim and the yavama, they come to beast, and v'hein masin lo itza ha-hogenes lo, and the judges, they give the yavam, they give him some advice, right? What's the appropriate thing to do? Should they do yivam? Should they do chalitza? And meaning, so for example, the mafarshim explain that let's say the yavam is 13 years old and the yavama is 67, random numbers. So if that's the case, that's a pretty significant age difference. And therefore, if you have an age difference of like 50 years, which in general that does not work out, so they said probably better to do a chalitza in such a situation. Sometimes maybe it's better to do yivam. However, we know, I believe the Gemara explains that ultimately there are basically generations where Yibam is done and then generations where Chalitza is done, and our custom nowadays is to always do Chalitza, at least in the Ashkenaz world for sure. Sephardi world, not so simple, but in general, I think we always do Chalitza. So again, so they give him advice. Shenem, or where does this come from that they should give him advice? Because the Pasuk says, V'karu lo ziknei yiro v'dibru ilav, that the elders of the city are gonna call him, meaning call the Yavim, and they're gonna speak to him, meaning they're gonna give him some advice. So that's the source for that they should actually give him advice as to what to do. Then says the Mishnah, so fine. So they gave him advice. Let's say he does chalitza. What is chalitza? Right, yibam is easy. We understand what yibam happens, right? We know rabbinically, we've said previously, they have to do something called a maimar, where he basically just verbalizes that he's going to take her as a yavama. Excuse me. And then after that, then they basically just consummate the marriage. That's what Yibam looks like, essentially. But what does chalitza look like? It's a little bit more of a complicated ceremony. So says the Mishnah as follows. V'hi omer. So the Yavama says to the Yavam. And so basically you're going to see that the passage in the Torah that talks about Yibam. So that's basically what's going to take place. There's going to be a transference of psukim. So v'hi omer. So the Yavama says to the guy, me'in yavami lahakim la'achiv shem b'yisrael lo ava yavmi. Just quoting the pasuk. She says, my Yavam refuses to establish a name for his brother in Israel, and he's not willing to take me in Yibam, right? Meaning, even though it sounds kind of harsh, at the end of the day, even they're both basically probably agreeing on the Chalitza, but that's the language that is said, right? That's from the Pasuk in the Torah. The Hu Omer, and then he says, the next Pasuk, Lo Chafasti Lekachta, that I do not want to marry her. Uvilashon HaKodesh Hayu Omrim, and they would say these lines, they would say it in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, Hebrew, right? Then they would go further as follows. In the pasuk, they wouldn't. I don't think they would say these words, but this is what would happen next. V'niksha yivim to ilav le'ini hazakinim v'chaltza na'alo me'al raglo v'yarka b'fanef. So then the yavama would approach him before the eyes of the elders, right? This is just quoting the pasuk, but this is what would happen. So she'd go over to him and she would remove his shoe from his foot and she would spit in front of him. Roch hanir el ladayanim. But and the verse basically says the implication of the pasuk is that the yavama has to spit an amount of spit that's large enough that the judges could see. Right? It can't just be like I spit but nothing. I didn't see anything. No, she has to be something that the judges can actually see. And then. The older conclusion of the ceremony, how it used to end, was as follows, that the Yavama would say, V'ansa v'yamra kacha ye'aseh la'ish asher lo yivneh es beis achiv, that and she, the Yavama, shall declare and say, so shall be done to the man who will not build the house of his brother, right, and this she also says in Lashon HaKodesh, with the actual words of the pasuk. So that's how it used to end. Ad kan hayu makrin. That's how they used to dictate to the Yavama and the Yavama what would happen over here. But then, there was another story that took place that changed the practice. What happened? So uchashehikra Rabbi Hurkanas tachas ha'ila b'chvar itam v'gamar es kol ha'parasha. So Rabbi Hurkanas, he was overseeing a chalitza and he dictated over the chalitza passages to the individuals. And where was it? So just the location under the elm tree in the village of Itam. And he completed the whole parsha, the whole chapter over here. Meaning there was an additional pasuk that was not normally a part of it. Does not really need to be a part of it. But he said, you know, here it is. And the Yavama then repeated after him. So then, as a result of that, Huchsuku Leos Gomrim Kol HaParasha. So the established custom came to be that the whole chapter, the whole parsha of Yibam was basically said. The they would say it over. And the Yavama would then. repeat it. So even that final pasuk, v'nikra shemo b'Yisrael beis chalutzanal. That was the final pasuk, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of the one whose shoe was removed. And so then the Mishnah concludes mitzvah badayanin that there is a mitzvah for the judges to say these words, the words chalutzanal, that again literally means the one whose shoe was removed. V'lo mitzvah batamidim. But again, they would have a lot of tamidim, let's say, around watching because chalitzas are not that common at the end of the day. So I think they would usually have lots of people coming to watch around again with the permission of the couple. So it was a mitzvah for the judges to say these words, but the Talmidim around would not say it. It wasn't a mitzvah for the students who are sitting there to say it, just the judges. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, no, mitzvah al kol ha'omdim sham lomar. It was a mitzvah for all those that were standing there to say. What do you say? Chalutzanal, chalutzanal, chalutzanal. You would say it three times. The one whose shoe was removed. You would say that statement three times, and everyone would say that to basically make it clear that this woman is now free to marry anyone else who she wishes. That brings us to the end of Perek Yud Beis. God willing, next time we'll continue with Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13. But for now, we'll stop right here.